Hi, I'm Dahlia Rose, and this is Kinky Facts You May Not Have Known. This podcast does contain adult content, and it is not suitable for minors, and it's definitely not safe for work. Listener discretion is advised. Freddie Mercury is known worldwide and across generations as the lead vocalist of the band Queen. From his songwriting to his very distinguishable voice to his flamboyant style, he is regarded as one of the greatest singers in the history of rock. It's hard to find someone that doesn't know at least one Queen song, whether it be Bohemian Rhapsody, We Are the Champions, A Crazy Thing Called Love, Under Pressure, or Killer Queen. It's safe to say that the songs that he wrote and sang are still very popular today. Freddie Mercury was born Farouk Bulsara in Stone Town, Zanzibar on September 5, 1946, to Bami Anjur Bulsara. Freddie spent most of his childhood in India, where he began taking piano lessons at the age of 7. The next year, he would enter a British-style boarding school in Pangani near Bombay. It was there at the age of 12 he formed his first band, The Hectics, which did rock and roll covers of artists such as Little Richard. It was apparent to everyone that Freddie showcased a talent for music. One of his friends said that he had, quote, an uncanny ability to listen to the radio and replay what he heard on the piano. However, music wasn't his only talent. Freddie was known to be a good table tennis player, played hockey, and he was even, in his own words, quote, brilliant in the boxing ring. In 1963, Freddie rejoined his family in Zanzibar, but it was short-lived. In 1964, the family was forced to flee Zanzibar due to a violent revolution against the Sultan. Mercury and his family relocated just west of central London. However, in April 1970, Mercury teamed up with guitarist Brian May and drummer Roger Taylor to form the band Smile. In 1971, the trio was joined by John Deacon, and the band was renamed Queen. Mercury later said he chose the name because, quote, it's very regal, obviously, and it sounds splendid. It's a strong name, very universal, and immediate. He went on to say, quote, I was certainly aware of the gay connotations, but that was just one facet of it. It may not come as a surprise, but the band's famous logo, the Queen Crest, was designed by Mercury himself. The logo combines the zodiac signs of all the band members. Two lions for Deacon and Taylor, who are both Leos, a crab for May, who is a Cancer, and two fairies for Mercury, who was a Virgo. Their debut self-titled album was released in 1973. However, it wasn't until the release of their sophomore album, Queen 2, that the band started to become popular. At the end of 1974, their album, Queen 2, was ranked the 5th best of the year. In 1975, the band released their third album, Sheer Heart Attack, which included their first international hit, Killer Queen. The song was one of a few written by Mercury for which he wrote the lyrics. The song, which is one of my favorites, is about a high-class prostitute. Mercury described the song as people are used to hard rock energy music from Queen, yet with this single, you can almost expect Noel Ward to sing it. He went on to explain, quote, it's about a high-class call girl. I'm trying to say that classy people can be whores as well. That's what the song's about. Though I prefer if people put their own interpretation upon it. Read into it what they like. Following the success of Killer Queen, the band released their fourth studio album in late 1975, A Night at the Opera. This album contained some of the most well-known songs by Queen, including You're My Best Friend and the ever-iconic Bohemian Rhapsody. The song was written by Mercury with guitar solo composed by Brian May. Mercury was obsessed with the song and thought of the arrangement on a daily basis. The song was even given the affectionate nickname of Fred's Thing during the recording by the band. The band members recorded their respective instruments with no concept of how the track would be utilized until the final mix. Although the song was twice as long as the average single for the time, it held the number one spot on the UK charts for 9 weeks. Bohemian Rhapsody is arguably the most famous song the band has produced. It has been used in countless films, including the famous scene in Wayne's World where the characters are rocking out and headbanging to it while driving, and of course the movie by the same name, which earned actor Rami Malek an Oscar for his performance as Freddie Mercury. During the band's rise to fame, Mercury had a long-term relationship with Mary Austin in the early 1970s. The two were very close and were even engaged for a time. However, by the mid-1970s, Mercury began having an affair with David Mins, an American record executive. When Mercury told Austin of his sexuality, it ended their sexual relationship. However, the two remained friends throughout the remainder of Mercury's life. Of Austin, Mercury said, quote, "All my lovers asked me why they couldn't replace Mary, but it's simply impossible. The only friend I've got is Mary, and I don't want anybody else. To me, she is my common law wife. To me, it was a marriage. We believe in each other. That's enough for me." As the 1970s came to a close, Queen had grown immensely in popularity, not only due to their songs, but to their performances as well. It was said that Mercury displayed a highly theatrical style that encouraged participation by the crowd. His ability to entertain and charm audiences was unmatched, and other performers praised Mercury for his extravagance. After his relationships with Mary Austin and David Mins, there were other people he reportedly was linked to, including Austrian actress Barbara Valentin and German restaurateur Winifred Winnie Kirchberger. It was rumored romances and suggestions that he was as close to women as he was to men that have led some people to speculate that he was bisexual, which could be possible. However, it is widely known that he was gay. On the subject of his sexuality, when he was asked directly by a reporter, quote, "So how about being bent?" Mercury replied in Freddie fashion, quote, "You're a crafty cow. Let's put it this way. There were times when I was young and green. It's a thing schoolboys go through. I've had my share of schoolboy pranks. I'm not going to elaborate further." John Marshall of Gay Times summed it up best in 1992 when he said, quote, "Mercury was a scene queen, not afraid to publicly express his gayness, but unwilling to analyze or justify his lifestyle. It was as if Freddie Mercury was saying to the world, I am who I am, so what?" In 1985, Mercury began another and final long-term relationship with hairdresser Jim Hutton. Mercury referred to Hutton as his husband and even wore a gold wedding band Jim gave him till the end of his life. He was even cremated with it on. It was known that Mercury exhibited HIV symptoms as early as 1982. It's important to remember that back in the early 1980s, not much was known about HIV and AIDS. Throughout the 1980s, misinformation was spread about it only affecting gay men, with it commonly referred to as, quote, gay men's pneumonia or, quote, gay cancer. People thought it could be caught simply by touching something that somebody with HIV previously touched, We now know that's not the truth, but back in the 1980s and 1990s, the diagnosis of HIV or AIDS was essentially a death sentence, and people who had it were seen as pariahs. Sadly for Freddie, that was the case. He was officially diagnosed with AIDS in April 1987. Mercury didn't reveal his diagnosis to anyone outside his inner circle, but the press picked up on rumors of his illness, coupled by his increasingly gaunt appearance. While Mercury was an outgoing performer, he was shy and reserved in his private matters. His inner circle of colleagues and friends helped to deny the stories of his diagnosis. On February 18, 1990, Mercury made his final appearance on stage when he and the members of Queen accepted the Brit Award for Outstanding Contribution to British Music. In May 1991, Mercury made his last appearance on camera in the music video for These Are the Days of Our Lives. In the video, Mercury appeared very thin, and the once highly energetic singer, although still performing hand gestures, moved very little throughout. According to Brian May, as they were heading to the studio in May 1991, Freddie, quote, did sit us down and say, look, you know what I'm suffering from. You know what the problem is. But I don't want to talk about it anymore. I just want to make music until the day I fucking die. And let's get on with it. Justin Shirley Smith, an assistant engineer at the studio, told The Telegraph in an interview that the mood at the time was, quote, wasn't sad. It was very happy. He was one of the happiest people I ever encountered. I was laughing most of the time with him. Freddie was saying, fuck that. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to do this. It was noted by a lot of people close to Mercury that he really had no fear of death, and he would give his all when he had the energy, even if it was for a couple of hours. He reportedly told May, quote, I'll sing it until I fucking bleed. On November 23, 1991, Mercury released a statement confirming his AIDS diagnosis. The statement read, quote, following the enormous conjuncture in the press over the last 2 weeks, I wish to confirm that I have been tested HIV positive and have AIDS. I felt it correct to keep this information private to date to protect the privacy of those around me. However, the time has come now for my friends and fans around the world to know the truth, and I hope that everyone will join me, my doctors, and all those worldwide in the fight against this terrible disease. Privacy has always been very special to me, and I am famous for my lack of interviews. Please understand this policy will continue. About 24 hours after issuing that statement, Freddie Mercury passed away on November 24, 1991, at the age of 45. His official cause of death was bronchital pneumonia resulting from AIDS. On a special note, I do want to thank my friend Jake for his suggestion for this episode. If you have episode suggestions, you can email them to me at kinkyfactspodcast@gmail.com. This has been Kinky Facts You May Not Have Known with Dahlia Rose. If you'd like more kinky facts, please feel free to follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Kinky Facts Podcast. That's all one word. To contact me with kinky facts suggestions, please email me at kinkyfactspodcast@gmail.com. If you liked my podcast, please subscribe to be informed of new weekly episodes, and reviews are also helpful. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll come back soon.